Do you know that feeling when everyone is talking about a movie that you haven't seen? Have you ever felt compelled to make some vague comments just so you can join in the conversation? Well, what if you were in too deep? Do you think you could convince everyone that you'd seen it? Or do you think your version would be so much better that no one would care? Here at Faking Movies, we're always the ones who haven't seen the movie.
Anything you can do better. I can do anything better than you.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can.
No, you can't.
Yes, I can. Yes, I can.
Hey, welcome back, everyone. This is Faking Movies episode. I have honestly lost count. Does anyone want to help me out on that one?
14? I think 14.
14? I think it's 14, yeah.
Dope. No. No, no, it's 15.
What? Oh, huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
I swear, it's definitely 15.
Well, needless to say, we've done so many. Oh my God,
I
can
know.
You believe it?
It's crazy.
Oh. Well, as I'm sure you've all heard, I am joined, as always, by my dear friend Zach.
Hey, guys.
Yeah, a little delay there. Nice. And I'm also joined...
I think you're the only one getting the delay.
Yeah, I think that's true.
Agreed.
Maybe. Yeah. Well, that I'll jump ahead of our normal order, and the voice you just heard is our good friend Erica. How are you, Erica?
I'm good. Hi, guys.
And of course, our dearest friend Seth. How are you?
I am acceptable.
Okay.
Good start. Good start.
So, we wanted to lead off today, letting everyone know about some very exciting social media ventures we've embarked upon. You guys should all, for all Faking Movies kind of behind the scenes info and announcements, please follow on Twitter at Faking Movies, easy enough, and on Instagram, because it's weird bullshit, Faking _ Movies.
Yep.
We are going to try to stay active on those and not just post links to the episodes, but there will be a lot of shilling, so get ready. There's going to be some good stuff on there.
Yeah.
So wait, is Instagram, you can't just do the thing, or was it taken? What's the deal? Who do we have to kill is what
I'm
asking.
I don't remember.
All right.
All I know is, like, I did it on my phone, so I think I maybe forgot what I put on Twitter when I opened up the Instagram.
Okay. Yep.
Well, that seems reasonable.
Yeah, we'll work it out. That's fair.
So just to, you know, reiterate, we've got at Faking Movies for Twitter and Faking _ Movies on Instagram for all of your Faking Movies information and multimedia presentations.
Yeah.
I don't know what that would be, but hey, why not?
Some slideshows? Fun. You know, an Excel spreadsheet?
Yeah.
Ooh.
Yep. Ooh.
Yep.
Do we in fact have an Excel spreadsheet? Yes, we do.
We do, actually.
That's a good
point.
It's quite extensive at this point. Yeah.
It is.
It is deep. And I guess I wanted to remind people up top here, thank you for subscribing. We would really love it if you guys could rate the show. We hear that it helps on iTunes especially, so if you have a second, please do.
Yeah, please do. And tell your friends, rating and telling friends, we're teetering forever on sort of the cusp of, I don't know, 50, 60 subs, but like, I feel like we can, as a team, as you guys and us guys together, as a team, we can do better. I believe in us. So like, tell everyone you know.
Yeah. So let's get jumping in here. As usual, when we have a guest, we asked Erica to fake a movie for us today, and the movie she's faking is unimaginably The Big Lebowski.
Inconceivable.
Yeah, I don't know how I missed this movie, to be honest. I'm ashamed of myself.
You are and I hope I'm not overstepping my bounds here. You are a white person who went to college in the mid-2000s.
And I inexplicably missed this movie.
Wait, have you seen The Boondock Saints?
Yes.
Okay. Well,
I've actually not seen The Boondock Saints.
Wow.
What?
Well, okay. Let's save that one then.
it's a poster that's on 1,000 dorm room walls right now.
Seriously.
Still.
Yeah. It's about a ragtag bunch of special teams kickers in New Orleans for the Saints, and it's not a big deal, and Lee can fake it at some point. It's fine. It's fine.
God, that's so good. You might have to bleep that in case we find someone who hasn't seen the movie.
That is a pretty good version.
Love it.
Yeah.
All right, cool. Well, should we...
Yeah, we should get going. Erica, what do you know about the movie already, and what kind of info did we give you?
Okay, so things that I knew about the Big Lebowski was that Jeff Bridges was some guy called the Dude, and there was a bowling alley involved, and honestly, that's about it. I know Steve Buscemi's in it because I had him as a trivia question at Trivia Night, but that's literally it.
You have described the whole movie, honestly.
Spoiler alert. There is a version of talking about this movie where you did describe it all, yes.
The actors that I got were Jeff Bridges, John Goodman, Steve Buscemi, Julianne Moore, Tara Reid, and Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. And crucial. I had to double check who Julianne Moore was because I thought she was in a movie that she was not in, even though she's been in like every movie. I picked the one that she was not in. Inexplicably.
Maybe top two most famous people in the... You were like, oh, Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers? Got it. Oh, who's this Julianne Moore chick? I don't...
I just had to double check. I knew what her face looked like. It's fine.
Okay.
So I kind of made it... Am I supposed to be talking about the movie now?
Yeah, go nuts.
Just go for it, yeah.
So I made this into kind of a gangster movie, sort of like a Goodfellas feel. And everyone has a the name because the dude, and therefore everyone else has a the name.
Okay, sure.
John Goodman is the sheriff. Steve Buscemi is the sheriff's deputy. Julianne Moore is just scripted as the lady. Tara Reid is the dude's daughter, and Flea is the boyfriend.
The daughter's boyfriend, I'm guessing.
Yes.
Okay.
I feel like Steve Buscemi kind of got the shaft there. Like he seems very ancillary.
You know.
Well, these stay things tuned happen. For real plots.
These things happen. You know. Yeah. It's fine.
Sure.
I do love me some Steve Buscemi. That is true, but I couldn't figure out what else he could be in this particular rendition of the Big Lebowski.
He's a New York firefighter, an American hero, Steve Buscemi.
Oh, yeah, that's true. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I'm aware. Thank you.
Yeah. Number one enemy of the podcast, Jack Nicholson. Number two friend of the podcast, Steve Buscemi.
Wait, who's the number one friend of the podcast?
Clearly Space and Time Lord Steve Zahn.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's true.
You glossed over that so elegantly. Oh, that was wonderful.
our dedicated listeners will get that reference. It's fine.
Oh, of course. Oh, god damn it. Yeah, perfect. All right.
Oh, boy.
Okay, go nuts.
Okay, so this is basically what happens. The dude is a small town gangster head boss. He's like the godfather. And he washes money through his bowling alley, which he hangs out very frequently. He's bought out the whole police department in this town. So the sheriff and him are all buddy-buddy. They hang out. They're in a bowling league. You know, they riff on each other about how well each other bowls, things like that.
Okay, not to interrupt you already, but we did just watch Ozark. And I feel like it's showing in your
plot. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Whatever.
Okay.
That's fine. All right, the dude and his daughter have a really tumultuous relationship. She's kind of crazy and maybe does drugs because it's Tara Reid, so probably does drugs.
Tara
does, man.
Boy.
Julianne Moore rolls in, and she's a lady boss, and she basically bribes Steve Buscemi into being on her team, and the boyfriend of Tara Reid. They scheme together how to get rid of the dude, and they kidnap the dude's daughter and hold her for ransom. And the sheriff actually figures out that the deputy is double-crossing him. And so he confronts the deputy. They have a fight. Deputy accidentally gets fatally shot, but not telling him but not before telling him where the daughter is being held in a last-ditch effort to redeem himself and be a good guy. Because, you know, Steve Buscemi, America's hero. Can't be a bad guy, you know?
Except for Con Air. He was, legitimately the worst character in Con Air.
He doesn't murder that little girl.
Okay, but to be fair, Con Air is literally a movie about all criminals. So technically they are all bad guys.
No, but he is the worst guy, definitively, in that movie. And he does, indeed, not murder that girl. So
I don't know. I think they treat, like, Danny Trejo's guy as the worst guy.
Roses?
Danny Trejo always likes to be the worst guy. Like, he
does. Danny Trejo is such an... He's just such an interesting person, though. So I'll let him pass.
Yeah, he's actually been to prison and shit. Like, it's fun. Yeah. Yeah.
It's too easy to play a good guy. Danny Trejo wants the challenge, you know?
All right, let's go with that.
I think it's the other way for him, but all right, whatever.
Number five, anyway, friend of the show, Danny Trejo.
He'll be on episode 19. Yeah.
God, I hope we remember this ranking in the future.
If people actually listen to the show, I'm sure someone would write it down for us.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. Are we gonna get a Wikia?
Yeah. Wait. Who's our super fan out there? Who's our super fan? Let's get in on that.
I don't know who they are, but they haven't sent us any money yet. So you know.
Yeah. God damn it. Ugh, Lee had to buy a computer with his own money, and he was very unhappy about it.
I swear to God, if these tones are not dulcet as fuck, I am going to call up Apple. Like, fuck.
Yeah. Boy. Okay, sorry. Go on.
Okay, no, it's fine. So, deputy has killed but told where the daughter is. So the dude and the sheriff go in, guns blazing, and they take out a bunch of extras that nobody actually cares about.
Perfect.
And the dude and the sheriff get to where the daughter's being held and confronts the boyfriend, who the dude, of course, like, shoots point blank before Flea can really, like, utter anything. And then he says something... and then he says, like, something smart-ass, like, I never liked him anyways, always gave me the creeps, or, like, some kind of weird dad joke that you're like, kind of funny.
But so the dude is a savage, is what you're saying.
Well, like, he's a boss.
He's a real animal, that one.
He's an animal.
Okay. It's a gangster movie, I guess. Yeah.
I'm just doing pest control, getting rid of all them fleas.
Exactly. That's so much fucking better than what I wrote in. Anyways.
It's a team effort.
So the sheriff goes to untie the daughter, and Julianne Moore comes from the shadows, and she shoots the sheriff in the leg, and he falls to the floor very dramatically. And the dude goes after her, and they run around in this warehouse maze sort of deal. Like, think like Freddy Krueger with all the steam and the pipes and the darkness, and like, you know, they don't really know where each other are, kind of thing.
I think you're describing the end of Gone in 60 Seconds, but whatever. Yeah, that's fine. Freddy Krueger, Gone in 60 Seconds. No big deal. Yeah.
Freddy Krueger's best.
No laughs whatsoever. Wow.
Stop it, Pat. Stop it.
So she finally corners the dude. And they banter back and forth with all their bad guy talk, because neither one of them is really a good guy. Before the dude tries to shoot her, and he like comes up that he's out of ammo, so his gun's fucking empty. And then she kills him with a straight shot to the head without like any, you know, craziness. She runs back off.
Fucking cold-blooded.
Yeah. Fucking Julianne Moore, dude. She runs back to...
I fully support that.
She runs back to finish off the sheriff. And in a surprise twist, she kisses the sheriff and ties off his leg with a tourniquet and explains the whole thing to the daughter, who is tied up to the chair, and then shoots her point blank and kills her, too.
Wait, what? No, let's not skip over that.
You gotta kill the heir. Like, you can't leave any bad blood left.
Because it's not her heir. It's the dude's heir.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Okay.
Right.
You don't want any misplaced loyalties fucking up your plans.
No. Fuck that shit. Right?
Man, that is cold as ice, though. Whew.
Yeah.
Jeez. Yeah.
All right.
And then basically the end of the show cuts to Julianne Moore and the sheriff at the bowling alley, hanging out, drinking beer, eating pizza with stacks of money next to them, and people fawning over them, and it's kind of implied that she's the new sheriff in town, so to speak.
Damn. All right.
Wait, does at any point somebody look at the camera and say, "The Big Lebowski"?
I was just gonna ask you that.
So I thought about this, and I didn't know how to incorporate that. So no.
Let's just say that there's a weird reveal that we never knew Julianne Moore's name for sure right until the end when she says she's, "Oh me, I'm the Big Lebowski."
Yes, boom! I like roll that. Credits. That's so fucking good. Yes, Lee, that is how the movie ends.
Oh,
done.
My God.
And credits and like a real, like a banger rap song.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. Hard cut to credits though.
Yeah.
I will say, behind the scenes, Erica has listened to, let's say, very few of the podcasts, and I forgot to tell her that down the barrel title is a thing that we do all the time. Yes.
It's pretty consistent in that regard.
Almost always, yeah.
I mean, she looks vaguely Polish, so that could work perfectly.
Julianne Moore, I'd say straight Irish. Oof, I don't know.
You know.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a white person. Nobody can tell. It's fine.
I have heard that. Yeah.
Nailed it.
Yikes.
Hey, both are Catholic.
Sure.
True.
No, that's true.
In my hometown, years ago, the Polish Catholics and the Irish Catholics had a huge fucking riot where they fought each other.
Hell yeah! That's awesome!
What do they not get along about? I'm confused.
I don't know. I think somebody put like an Irish church on the same side of the street as the Polish church.
Oh,
or some
neighborhoods are always like,
that.
Fucking segregated.
Yeah.
You knew what church you belonged to.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
But that, no offense, but where you grew up, I thought they'd all just like show up to the church and be like, oh, more white people. Cool.
Where me? Where I grew up?
No, Lee.
Where Lee grew up. Okay.
No, you lived on one side of the street if you were Irish, one side of the street if you were Polish, and then another part of town if you were Italian.
Yep.
Oof. Oof. Oh. The not so rugged slums.
And that's, I don't think I need to elaborate that being end of list. It didn't get any more exotic than that.
Oh, yeah, no, definitely not. I've been there. It's a weird place, yeah.
It is a pretty weird little town, yeah.
Yeah, hey, listeners, if you have a guess as to where that is, put it on the Instagram or the Twitter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Or on our message boards on, what is it? Fakingmovies.wordpress.com.
That's the one.
People who personally know Lee are not allowed in.
Yeah, banned.
Yeah. No purchase necessary, although we would appreciate... I don't know. We really want some shirts that say Scream on them, so like... Yeah.
Yeah. Us and we think you guys too. Yeah. Yeah. It's Scream on the front and then Iron Giant on the back. Let's make this happen. We can do it.
Somebody buy us shirts for our joke.
Yep.
Okay, so that was great. Before we get into this, I have to give some behind the scenes here. When Erica said she didn't remember who Julianne Moore was, she goes, "Is that the one that was in Silence of the Lambs?" To which I replied, "So close, and I think that might be like the only movie that has ever existed that Julianne Moore has not been in."
It's true.
She is in literally every other movie.
I mean,
that has ever existed.
She is in the sequel. So,
mm-hmm.
Is she really? Oh, in Red Dragon or whatever.
No, Hannibal.
In Hannibal.
Oh, Hannibal. Okay.
She plays because Jodie Foster didn't want to come back.
Yeah. Well, she was like directing and shit by then. Yeah.
Nobody likes Jodie Foster. Yeah.
Just kidding.
I'm a big fan of Contact.
I'm a big fan of Silence of the Lambs.
That's true.
Wait, didn't somebody try to assassinate President Reagan in order to impress Jodie Foster?
John Hinckley Jr.
Famously, yes.
Exactly. So, you know, everybody loves her.
Yeah. In our sample, everyone loves her.
She's in one of the Freaky Fridays, like, which I just learned yesterday.
Yeah, Panic Room. Yeah. I think. Yeah, yeah.
Which one?
From the 70s. She plays the kid.
Yeah.
Oh. Okay.
Weird.
Okay, cool.
This was the Foster... What's a forum? This was the Foster Forum.
Oh, I was thinking it was called the Foster Children, and it's an all Jodie Foster cast. But
spin-off cast. Oh yeah,
good stuff.
All
right.
Oh, but Erica, I quite enjoyed your version. So
yeah,
thanks. No,
that was a fucking banger. I would watch the shit out of that movie.
Yeah. Also, commendations for blasting through it. That's a thing we continuously try to do and fail at. So
yep.
Oh, yeah. The three of us are terrible at it.
True.
Very bad. V bad. Yeah. So I don't know, Seth or Lee, does somebody want to do the real plot? Or
I wanted to mention, when we do eventually get to ratings, even though Erica, your movie was fucking great, you will lose points because of how coherent it was in relation to the actual movie.
Oh,
that's true.
I think we did not tell you that it's a Coen Brothers movie, an early Coen Brothers movie.
Not even close to early.
That means
right.
nothing to me. That means nothing
is that,
to me.
It's not an early one?
No.
No, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Oh, all right. Well, but they're like notoriously sort of circuitous, right?
Yeah, but it's not like Barton Fink, or which I mention like every podcast episode.
Drink two for Barton Fink.
I can't. I'm out of jungle juice.
So I have the IMDb pulled up. I can read the. Yeah. Hold on a sec.
I would like to know what this movie is actually about. Yeah.
This isn't going to help.
Yeah, whatever Lee's going to read is not going to help. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I have a theory, though, that I'll talk about in a second.
At great length, I hope.
Okay. Yeah. Jesus.
So here's the IMDb summary. The dude Lebowski, mistaken for a millionaire Lebowski, seeks restitution for his ruined rug and enlists his bowling buddies to help get it.
Wow, that is a horrible description.
Uh huh.
Okay. Really, I was gonna say the opposite. That does kind of sum up the movie.
Like, I mean,
in a
that's
weird,
the
shitty, pithy way.
That's the macro. That's the macro plot for sure. I guess.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
If you had basic 20 words, that's the thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
So the in broadest strokes, Jeff Bridges is like a slacker dude.
Mm-hmm.
He hangs out at the bowling alley with John Goodman and Steve Buscemi, and he gets confused for this millionaire dude who has the same last name as him, and then he gets embroiled in this weird, it's not quite noir-y, but like strange, you can't tell who's on what side kind of crime caper.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And all he wants is just his life to go back to normal.
So you did mention Tara Reid was kidnapped, which is very much a plot. It is the plot point in this movie,
yeah.
I think.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah.
She fakes her own kidnapping.
Yep.
Oh. Well, that seems like a very Tara Reid thing to do.
Yeah, it really does, doesn't it? Yeah.
Well, so this is, was this pre or post American Pie? I want to say pre.
Yeah, pre.
Yeah. So this is Tara Reid as a nobody? Yeah.
This came out in 98, so...
So it wasn't far before American Pie, but she definitely wasn't, like, famous yet.
Yeah. I mean, it came out in 98, but it takes place in 91, so...
Okay. Well, and the whole premise of this movie hinges on her being kidnapped, but she is in this movie for all of, like, 6.5 minutes. Like, barely at all. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
And it's...
Yeah.
Okay.
She's in the movie MacGuffin. For like 6 minutes. How long is Flea in the movie?
Not that much.
Yeah.
Okay.
He two scenes? One scene? I don't know.
So
he
is a member
three
of a,
scenes.
Yeah.
Three? Oh shit. Yep.
He is a member of a group of nihilists who are helping her fake the kidnapping.
Oh. Okay.
To get a bunch of money.
Right, so there's the bathtub scene where he's like, fucking weasels, man. And then there's the bowling alley scene with the Walter and the gun and Donnie and the heart attack.
Oh, God.
Right?
We have to bring that up.
Oh, there's also
yeah.
There's also the dream sequence where he's running with scissors. Giant scissors.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, of course.
That symbolized cutting off the dude's penis.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
There's a crazy musical number dream sequence in this movie, by the way. Yeah.
We should probably start at the beginning, actually.
I mean, Seth, lead us off. Go nuts.
Okay, so we're introduced to the dude, and he's, you know, drinking milk in the grocery store and all sorts of things like that, right?
Uh-huh. I think it's implied that he has added some, like, Kahlua and vodka to the milk.
Yeah, probably. His drinking choice is a white Russian.
Okay.
A Caucasian, yeah.
Caucasian, right. And don't we, like, we're introduced to the people at the bowling alley briefly, and they, like, mm-hmm. hang out and whatnot. So, John Goodman and, Steve Buscemi, and then John Turturro is probably there too. I don't know why.
Yeah,
Turturro shows up.
Oh, sorry. I was saying Goodman is one of his very good friends who happens to be like a Vietnam vet who just can't. He has definitely been mentally and emotionally damaged by his experiences.
Yeah, he went to Vietnam and he did not have a good time.
Oh, I know who John Turturro is. Sorry.
Yeah. Jesus. No, yeah.
And then Steve Buscemi is their other friend who is just constantly getting shit on by John Goodman.
Yeah.
Unfortunately.
Yeah.
Right. So after, you know, being at the bowling alley or whatever, the dude goes back home and is immediately like his house has been broken into and he starts getting his ass kicked by these two guys.
One of them played Jacob on Lost.
Oh yeah.
Sure. Yeah, sure enough. Sure enough.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And one of the guys urinates. They're all like, "Give me the money, Lebowski. Give me the money." And he has no idea what the hell they're talking about, of course. And one of them just urinates all over his rug. And so this is the impetus for the entire rest of the plot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like that sounds silly, but he's serious. Like that is the entire plot of the movie, right there.
I have a quick question, Seth. Because maybe you can. I was thinking about this. Is this movie picaresque? Like, does he learn anything?
No.
Yeah, I'd say definitely not on that.
Yeah.
So, like, he just goes on this adventure.
Well, he gets to the end, and I think does not get his rug back because it's all pissed on.
Yeah,
and he's just a like, different rug.
Well, yeah, he gets a different rug. But yeah, then he's just like, ugh, shit, where's my vodka and my milk? Like, that's the whole, that's the fun of it, right?
Right.
Yeah.
Right, so, very broadly, it might be considered, you may be able to consider it a picaresque.
I don't know what that means, but okay,
this has been Lee's lit.
Lee's lit corner.
Yeah, so,
hey, everybody.
I mean, I can see where you could see it as a picaresque.
Yeah.
Yeah, but, I don't know.
What's a word for diversion that starts with L? Like, but a diversion no one likes, so.
Oh, boy.
Anyway.
Go on, Seth. Go on.
Sorry.
Okay, so where were we in the plot? Okay, great.
Oh,
so,
the first rug. 5 minutes, I think.
Yep. So, the dude sets up a meeting with the Big Lebowski, and is like, hey, dude, give me, like, money for the rug. And the Big Lebowski is a huge asshole and whatnot, and kind of kicks him out. But as he's being kicked out, he tells the Big Lebowski's assistant, "Oh, Big Lebowski just said I could take whatever rug I felt like."
Well, let's not gloss over the assistant is Philip Seymour Hoffman.
Oh, that's true.
The man, the legend.
Oh, wonderful Phil Hoffman.
R.I.P.
Phil Hoffman.
Well, yeah.
He has a weirdly small part in this movie, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It was
he wasn't even like sense, a Cohen guy that I would say, like, oh yeah, they just called him up and he showed up. He just, you know, like.
Yeah.
I mean, I feel like he had set up himself to, like, be a good supporting character in a lot of different movies, and then
back then, for sure. You
know. Oh, he's a working actor for sure.
Yeah.
Oh, we working today.
Oh, we working today. Yeah. Okay.
Zach,
you and I are the only ones that got that joke. Okay, good.
Yeah, no, that's how this podcast works.
Wow. It's all inside jokes.
Oh, yeah.
It's an endless series of inside jokes that two of the hosts don't understand. Hey. It's pretty interchangeable, which too.
I was going to say, yeah, which is to say it's normally Lee talking to himself, yeah.
Hey guys, am I the one holding us back? Is this why we don't have that many subscribers?
It's just Lee away from the microphone singing Cher songs, and we're like, Lee, come on, fuck, god damn it, get back here.
None of this is usable.
Dear listener, think about all the editing we have to do to get rid of all of Lee's singing.
Oh my god, it's endless. It's endless. I have a job. I have a real job.
So, the dude goes back home and things are, you know, whatever, back to his normal slacker self. And then he gets a call from Philip Seymour Hoffman to go down back to the Big Lebowski. The Big Lebowski is like, oh no, my kind of shitty wife was kidnapped. I want Tara you Reed. To... Yeah.
Oh.
Tara Reed was
his
kidnapped.
Child bride, more or less.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. And they offer the dude to be basically a bagman, to drop off the ransom money so that the kidnappers, you know, don't ever deal with the Big Lebowski himself.
Okay.
And then the dude makes the horrible mistake of telling his buddy Walter about it.
Yeah.
Wait, who is Walter
Goodman
again?
Gets involved.
Walter is John Goodman, the Vietnam vet.
Okay.
Yeah.
And they
he's a real loose cannon, that one. Yeah. Really loose cannon.
We established that.
So they're supposed to, like, drop off a briefcase at a bridge. I don't remember how we figure all this out, but they're supposed to do that. And John Goodman, like, takes over driving the car and then decides that he's going to get the $1 million that was Tara Reed's ransom, like, himself.
Okay. For his drug?
Yep.
Well, John Goodman and the dude together would just split the money, I guess.
Okay.
And of course the dude is, he does not want this to happen. He just wants to end everything.
Right, so the onus of the entire movie is the dude is just, like, sick of being bothered by anything, ever. Mm-hmm. Like, he just wants this all to go away.
Okay.
Like, he just can't be bothered by anything.
Yeah. And, of course, John Goodman, like, rolls out of the car, and he has an Uzi for some reason that just goes off, and he shoots himself in the leg as he's rolling along the pavement. And
so he nailed that.
Oh, what? Yeah.
Yeah, John Goodman that's getting true. Shot in the leg.
Yeah,
that's true.
I didn't
that's
actually. I promise you, I have not seen this movie at all. I just was making up a really good gangster movie that I'd like to watch.
Sure.
So, of course, like, oh, and John Goodman switches out the briefcase for a dummy briefcase that's full of underwear.
Full of and his own dirty underwear, famously,
like Teddy Whitey's.
Yeah.
Yep. Oh, it was the 90s, so yeah.
Yeah.
That's true.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, the kidnappers are all riding, you know, motorbikes like Germans tend to do. And we'll get to that in a second. and like drive away, and the dude still has the briefcase that supposedly has $1 million in it in his car. And so John Goodman and the dude go bowling then. And then his car gets stolen while they're bowling. And so the missing $1 million is kind of the whole major issue now.
Yeah, new major issue.
Mm-hmm. So, the $1 million is missing. The Big Lebowski gets a toe sent to him that's supposedly his wife's toe. And
big toe, little toe? What kind of toe are we talking?
Pinky toe.
Yeah. You can live without that.
It's pretty important for balance, as it turns out.
I thought the big toe was pretty important for balance.
Well,
all toes are important for balance.
Let's not be discriminatory, shall we?
All right. Sorry.
Yeah.
So let's get to all the right. Germans.
Yeah, so the people that are trying to get the ransom money are a bunch of nihilists.
Okay.
That, man, I don't remember the German plot at all, so.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
I remember there's some pretty good Kraftwerk jokes in it, but like.
Yeah. Is this where the dream sequence happens?
Kraftwerk.
It is kind of where the dream sequence happens.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
Because it turns out the Big Lebowski isn't really rich. It was his dead wife who was rich.
Okay.
And his dead wife's daughter is Julianne Moore, and she's a weird experimental artist who knows all these Germans.
Okay.
And she, like, brings in Jeff Bridges to, like... Well, I mean, eventually she tries to, like... Be
sperm jacket
by him.
Yeah,
she yeah.
Sperm yeah. Ew.
Yeah, what? That's a term. Uh-huh. That's a term people use.
No,
right?
That is a term.
No. Oh, okay. I didn't know
yeah.
That.
It wasn't an ooh at the term. It's an ooh at the concept. I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Oh, when he learns all this stuff about the Germans from her, I do want to point out. David Twellis, the guy who plays Lupin in Harry Potter,
yeah,
is just sitting in the room
giggling,
reading record jackets, giggling to himself the whole time.
Oh, yeah.
Is top notch.
Okay, so, man, I'm having way trouble trying to reconnect where he is.
Yep.
okay.
They're about to go, like, he needs to go find his car now.
Yeah, but that doesn't, like, a bunch of shit doesn't matter for a lot. Okay, so let's just jump in here.
Okay.
The whole movie doesn't matter, yeah.
Yeah, so at this point, like, the middle part of the plot is a bunch of weird little vignettes that make no sense, and...
I was gonna point out that most of this movie is just, like, slightly interconnected vignettes.
Yeah, uh-huh.
Yep.
Okay.
So, like, Lebowski goes to try to retrieve his stolen car. Turns out that, like, now it's at an impound lot or something, and of course the briefcase with $1 million is missing.
Okay.
But they find a kid's homework in it. Some kid stole the car, so...
Okay.
The dude and Walter, or John Goodman, go to this kid's...
Always a mistake.
Yeah,
for the dude, yeah.
Go to this kid's house and threaten him, trying to get $1 million back. Which,
yep.
There's like a fancy Lamborghini or something out front, and John Goodman smashes it with a crowbar, and then it turns out that it isn't even the kid that spent the money on that. It was some neighbor.
Okay. Yep.
So...
It's Corvette, no big deal. But yeah, okay.
Was it a Corvette?
And then
I think so.
Yeah, yeah. And then Lebowski's car gets destroyed by that guy. So like everything keeps happening to the dude in this movie, even though he's so incredibly passive.
Yeah.
All he wants is to like be left alone.
Yeah.
And or get his rug back, but maybe not. It doesn't even matter. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Is it at this point that he's like? Chilling in his house, taking a bath, and the Germans bust in, including Flea and
the Flea is
might be at
German?
This point.
Flea's a nihilist. Yep.
Yeah,
yeah.
Flea is one of the nihilists. What are some of the other nihilist actors? I can't remember.
Peter Stormare.
Yeah.
I want to say who's that tall British guy that does stuff. It's like 6'6". He's huge.
Yeah. I know the one you're talking about, but I can't remember.
Yeah, it's way after this movie, but I swear to God, he was one of those guys.
Yeah, so there are three Germans that, like, come in wearing all black. One has a cricket bat and is smashing up all of the shit in his apartment.
Mm-hmm.
And they throw a ferret into his bath, and it's, you know, freaking out, because it's a ferret. And say that if he doesn't get the money to them, that they're going to cut off his penis. So,
okay.
Yeah,
that's a lot to absorb.
Incoherent.
Yeah.
I don't know how to make this plot make sense.
Okay.
Yeah. I was gonna say, what? And we're only like halfway through the movie at this point. Oh,
at some point, the trail leads him to the home of this like famous pornographer.
Uh huh.
Yeah.
And that's where the penis cutting off kind of wraps up because he has his weird dream after the guy drugs him.
It's a really fascinating dream. I mean, Saddam Hussein gives him his bowling shoes.
And... Yeah.
Uh-huh. Okay.
There's like a Valkyrie.
In the context
Julianne
of the
Moore.
90s, it was good. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, so Erica, you asked me when
especially
did the movie take place.
Yeah,
they talk about Desert Storm in the movie, so.
Yeah.
They do. When did you think this movie took place?
Oh, I don't know. I only knew that it was in a bowling alley. Bowling alleys have been around forever, so it could have been from anywhere between like the 80s to now.
Well, right. I mean, I think you asked me at some point, and I said, like, vaguely the 90s?
Yes.
But, okay. All right.
Which is why I made it into a gangster movie.
I guess
movie.
That's Saddam specific. Yeah, sure. Okay.
Right.
Hey, moving on. Yeah.
I'm not sure where this question was supposed to lead me.
Yeah, me neither. Okay.
We're good.
This might.
Okay.
Yeah. Should we skip to kind of the what stands in for a resolution, I guess?
Yep. Yes.
Jeez, I do not
because there aren't
remember.
Really,
I do not.
There aren't really many more memorable vignettes between now and the ending.
Yeah, that dream sequence. Oh no, of course, Sam Elliott.
Oh yes.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Let's do it.
Well, okay. So we should have said at the beginning. Sam Elliott, famous cowboy, everything.
Yeah.
Okay.
Famed,
key of the beautiful
famed,
mustache.
Yes. Famed literal Marlboro man. Like,
yes,
he is the
true.
Marlboro man.
Like, yeah. His skin is made of tobacco tanned leather.
All right.
Yes,
it's amazing.
Correct. Yeah.
Married to the lady from Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid.
Catherine
and
Ross.
A graduate in real life. Thank
oh,
you. Yes.
Yeah, huh.
Can't remember her name.
Yeah.
Wow.
That was great. Right? Damn.
That was a good poll. Thank you.
It's not, but okay. Keep going.
Okay, so the entire movie begins with Sam Elliott being like, "Hey, I'm a cowboy, and you know what I like? People who don't like doing shit." And this here
that sums it up. Yeah,
love your style.
Okay.
Yeah, this here story is about a dude who don't do shit, but I still really love him. So that's the start of the entire movie. And periodically, I think it only happens once in the actual movie. The dude
they do meet
meets Sam Elliott at a bar, and they have a really kind of surface level, vapid conversation that doesn't have any point to it, right?
Okay.
The first one?
Yeah, right? Doesn't he just say like, "Whoa, okay, am I mixing it up?"
I think they only have one meeting in the entire movie, and it's
They have two. But
oh, do
yeah,
they?
Yeah, they have two.
Okay, then I'm probably conflating them, and you're about to get to the second one, so go on.
Well, the first one, they don't really talk about anything, and in the second one, at the very end of the movie, after everything has been resolved, which we haven't told you the resolution, but I'm just going to skip it.
Okay.
We'll circle back.
No, yeah.
We'll circle back.
All right. Because
no,
it shares
we
a similarity
definitely
with
won't
your
circle
movie.
Back.
But,
no
but
ending
this,
for you.
Yeah, but this part is the way we jump into my awesome theory.
Then I'm going to give the resolution real quick.
Okay, go ahead.
Steve Buscemi dies. It's not a gunshot, but he has a heart attack related to a gunshot, so you were super close. And, you know, that's about
hero.
It.
America's hero. Gone.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I know.
That's so tragic.
Yeah.
And that's about it. Like, you know, they're kind of sad, but life goes on.
Yeah, right? And they dump the ashes, and of course, John Goodman... Oof. Dumps the ashes and they blow onto the dude as he's standing there, and it's pretty gross.
Onto the dude's beard.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Right in his beard.
I mean, he's gonna carry them on forever now.
Yeah.
Well, he wasn't psyched about it, but yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well,
and
yeah.
A true friend would be psyched about it.
In your beard? No. If Seth or Lee's ashes went into my beard, the beard that I don't have?
You can't.
I'd be like, ah, oh, man, fucking shake these shits out. I don't you want know these. What? These are you weird. Know what?
Zach, Lee, and Erica, if any yes. of you were to die, I would not mind your ashes in my beard.
That's really
See,
sweet.
See, that is a yeah. that is a true friend right there. That's yeah, a true
you're good
friend.
Man. You're good man.
If any of you guys were to die, I'm afraid that I would get like one of those My Strange Addictions of eating your ashes.
No, don't eat us.
Yeah. Yep.
I'll mix you it in
have
my
to
coffee.
Eat all of our ashes and then your entire sofa? Is that... that's the logical conclusion for that, I think, yeah.
And then they find me outside just licking tires. That's it.
Yep, yep. And they're like, ah, oh, take him to jail. No, he's done.
Okay, more on the resolution real quick. Tara Reid wasn't yeah. actually kidnapped. She just, like, fucking disappeared for a little while. And yeah. was super drunk and crashed her car and then came back like there was nothing. So
right,
so real she's life playing herself,
okay. like actual yeah. Tara Reid.
And the Big Lebowski yeah. kind of like was trying to scam his daughter who ran all of the money because again the Big Lebowski is dirt poor but acts like he's super rich. Yeah, and his daughter is Julianne Moore again, and So he's trying to scam the $1 million. He embezzles that from his daughter. And also the briefcase, if we jump all the way back to the beginning, the briefcase that John Goodman switched out for underwear was also filled with like phone books or some shit.
Yep.
Okay.
Actual phone books. Yep.
So pretty much everything in this movie is a MacGuffin.
Yeah.
Yep.
It's really frustrating.
really fun movie. Really good movie.
is there anything else that needs to be resolved in this regard?
No, I think you can toss to your theory.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Do the thing.
Okay. Let me
preface this with uh-huh. we have been talking about this for several days. Mm-hmm. Several days. And we've all been very excited about it.
Oh, yeah. That's
and true. Yeah, so, Seth, go on.
Okay.
Please.
So, my theory about this whole movie, and I was talking to my roommate earlier tonight, and he said that this sort of thing had already been posited by people on the internet, and I was just mm-hmm. kind of copying them, which is entirely possible. But I think I have different actors in different positions. In the story.
Okay.
But my theory is this entire movie is the New Testament.
Yep.
Or whatever it's called. The Bible, I guess? Is that what you call it?
The Bible would be Old Testament and New Testament. So
oh, okay.
New
yeah.
Testament.
Yeah. Okay, yeah.
Part thereof. Part
yeah,
thereof.
Part
two.
Yeah.
Part
two. Yeah.
Part two.
Yeah.
Okay. Uh-huh. So in this story, yeah. to me,
it's the two Bible, two Furious, if you will. Oh,
they're man. Not racing camels in this shit. Like, okay.
Oh no.
Well, I mean, I won't claim to know what Seth's thing is going to be like. Maybe. Well, let's see.
Okay. Wasn't the New okay. Testament all Roman stuff? So they'd be racing chariots. I don't know.
Well, they drifted. I know that much.
Yeah, they definitely drifted.
Yes. So correct.
Is the sermon
the New
on the
Testament
Mount
is the story of Jesus. But anyways, continue on. Yeah.
Is the Sermon on the Mount the like dragging a bank vault through row of the Bible? Like,
no, that's five. That's five. That's yeah. the new Testament.
It's the one that breathed new life into the whole franchise.
Yeah, yeah, that's when The Rock showed up. Yeah, it was a whole different thing.
And then there's a beautiful retelling yeah. of that in Pirates of the Caribbean 5.
Correct, right. correct. Yes, yeah. yes. Yeah, yeah.
Which was
Although,
a really good
that's
movie.
That's that whole, like,
yeah.
It was okay.
We're doing religion very well. Yeah, I think we all know how this works.
We are being very sensitive to the beliefs of people other than me.
Oh, this is... Yeah, that's...
Anyways.
I'm sorry, everyone.
Is the dude Jesus? Is that what I'm supposed to be
yes,
getting out of this?
Yeah, the dude is okay. Jesus. Sam Elliott is God.
Yep. Sure.
Yep.
Let's see. Who
honestly,
who
like, so...
I
this
who's
silly,
the devil?
Like,
wait, who's the devil then?
What? Why would you have the devil? The devil doesn't appear in the New Testament.
Yeah, he does.
Ooh.
Where does the devil appear? That doesn't make sense to me.
When God, in the when desert, Jesus when he tests goes Jesus? To the yeah, exactly, goes to the desert and prays for 40 days, and the devil tempts him a bunch.
There's a whole there's a whole spin-off about it.
Is the devil weirdly in this movie the guy named DeJesus?
probably.
Confusingly. Yeah.
Does anyone tempt the dude? Like, that would be the devil. Is it Jackie Treehorn?
It's probably Jackie Treehorn. Yeah.
So cards on the table. The only time I've read the New Testament was in Russian. So
yeah.
All right.
It wasn't even Russian. It was Old Church Slavonic. So,
so that's like me reading the Bible in Old English, more or less.
Yeah, we could say that. Yeah.
Okay.
Or like Polish, like just looking at words and going, I don't know.
Hey, I'm pretty talented. Well,
you do the things.
But...
Yeah.
So I probably missed a lot of stuff.
Like the devil being in there, let's say.
Nonetheless, go on.
Okay, so because I talked about all of this with you guys before, and we had Steve Buscemi as apostle, and John Goodman as an apostle. What else did I have? I had John Turturro as maybe Judas.
Yeah, you did say him as Judas.
Okay.
Yeah.
Absolutely, yes. His character name is DeJesus. Yeah.
He does turn them into the league for a league violation. Mm-hmm. So he does betray them.
He does betray them, but he brings them back together in the end. So, yeah.
I have Tara Reid as Mary Magdalene.
Sure.
Okay.
Even the Catholic Church has proven her not to be a whore. Just saying.
All right. Well,
the Catholic.
Is it the cool new
out?
Pope
the
who said that? Because I don't listen to the cool new Pope. Give me that German Christianity. That's what I want.
I do like the cool new Pope whose entire strategy is don't be a dick, which is pretty much the only time you ever hear what Jesus said too. So
yeah,
that's true. Don't be a dick unless it's about gay people.
Not even then he's like, maybe don't judge him. Anyways,
said Lee, if you want to get on the Instagram and talk to somebody, that was Lee saying that. So we're clear.
All I'm saying, guys, is I was baptized in the Catholic Church, so I am, and I'm a man, so I am technically eligible to be elected Pope. You guys want papal infallibility to be done away with, I want you to write your cardinals and just get them to drop that name in the conclave.
You confirmed in the church?
Of course I was. I'm from
Well, just right, making so, sure, because so, if you didn't have confirmation and you were just baptized, you can't be all
right. So all of the people in our contest for where Lee grew up now have major clue. Right.
That was another clue.
Still gotta put in the city or town.
This horrible trail of breadcrumbs to where Lee came from.
This nightmare breadcrumbs. It ends up at the Blair Witch. Sorry.
Lee for Pope 2018. Ugh. That's all I'm saying.
No, well,
hashtag. Yeah. Well, I don't think we get votes, but man, if I could vote, I would vote you for Pope 2032, whatever it is.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yep.
So who else is in the Bible?
I think I have the Big Lebowski as Pontius Pilate. Or however the hell you
Pontius
pronounce
Pilate?
His name in English.
The way the word is pronounced.
Christ.
We got major issues with me being able to pronounce stuff in English.
Yeah.
How would you pronounce it in Russian?
Pontius Pilate.
It's pronounced Jesus.
Okay. No, it's Jesus, but, whatever.
Yeah.
So okay. what was the crux of your this is the New Testament argument?
Yeah. What's the argument? Yeah.
Well, I mean, the argument is that we have a Sam Elliott coming down and kind of being an omniscient narrator for the dude as Jesus, who's kind of telling everybody to be cool and go with the flow sort of situation, which I feel like in a good interpretation of the Bible is what Jesus is all about, right?
Sure.
Like, yeah, he's all like, definitely. Don't be a dick. Like, let other people live and let live. And that's, like, the main point of all this. And then we have all of these other characters that kind of create confluences in his narrative, right?
Yeah. They try to fuck up his normal, like, sitting in the bathtub kind of life.
Mm-hmm.
And, he does very often turn the other cheek.
He does. Yes. That's true.
Okay.
Actually, I think in my version, Julianne Moore was Mary Magdalene, not Tara Reid.
Because of their relationship.
Yeah, because of their actual relationship and
because they knew each other biblically.
Okay.
Yeah, boy.
Oh my god.
Yeah, boy.
Okay. Uh-huh. Getting into some real fuck, what's that movie with Tom Hanks?
You've Got Mail?
Big.
No, it's the a Dan Brown book.
Oh,
Da Vinci Code.
We've been talking about Tom Hanks all day.
Real Da Vinci Code shit.
Yeah. Oh man, we've been talking about Tom Hanks movies all goddamn day. Yeah.
So Seth, I'll add some fuel.
Okay.
My
horrible shitty fire. Yeah. Thanks.
Yeah.
Yep.
The severed toe. Could that be connected to one of the apostles cuts off an ear from one of the Roman soldiers? So
yeah,
there's like
regrows.
A body part. Yeah, but there's like a body part that's connected, I think.
I think that's like a loose connection. Yeah, Jesus heals
it. You know,
it.
Donnie's the one who dies for our sins, though.
Oh. I don't think I know the Bible, turns out.
Yeah, I'm pretty much out of my element at this point because...
Yeah, just like Donnie.
Hey, Donnie, you're out of your element.
Yep.
Yeah.
Notably Jewish over here, so.
Yeah. Have you guys ever seen that movie, The Big Lebowski?
No.
Is that what we're discussing?
I mostly go,
wait.
I'm Jewish. I go Old T. Old T.
Old T. I miss.
Well, I'm an atheist, so I've got low T. So
I miss an old angry god that is just, you know, destroying villages and shit. It's wonderful.
Yeah.
Smiting people.
Yeah.
It's definitely the more entertaining god.
And then we got diet god. Coming up.
Yeah.
No, he's like the...
All the New Testament bullshit. Yeah,
New
exactly.
Testament God. No,
whoa,
I've got a theory,
I'm not
guys.
Saying that it's bullshit. I'm just saying that he's a much more...
benevolent.
Let's say user-friendly God.
All right. So let's get to the rating parts. Mm-hmm. Seth, what do you think?
All right, so this movie is a cult classic. It's so I have been informed many times. I didn't end up watching this movie until at least my master's program. And so, I definitely didn't watch it in undergrad.
Okay.
So
nor high school?
Neither did I.
No.
Yeah, well, I mean, turns out.
Yeah, I certainly knew things about it. I knew people were talking about it, but I never actually watched it until significantly later. And then I only ever paid attention to anything this time through. So, I don't know. This movie is fine. I really like the Coen brothers. But I don't quite understand its cult following. Maybe because I am not a stoner.
Alright.
And I have very little interest in having a life where I do absolutely nothing. So.
Okay, fair enough.
But I can see how people enjoy it. So I'll give this like a 6.5.
The real Lebowski.
The real Lebowski. And then for Erica's. Right.
And then Erica's?
Yeah. Because I, you guys know how I have a soft spot for ridiculous crime dramas.
Sure enough.
Yeah. I'm going to give that a 7.5, a full point above.
Ooh, damn.
Ooh, very nice.
All right. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Lee, you wanna go ahead?
Yeah. So this is not my favorite Coen Brothers movie.
Uh-huh.
It's not even my favorite Coen Brothers comedy.
I feel your favorite Coen Brothers movie is probably Barton Fink.
I don't want to tell you what it actually is because it's shameful.
Oh no!
Is it the new ones that are terrible? It's the new ones, isn't
it? Hail Caesar?
No, that's not Hail Caesar. Oh god!
I enjoy Hail Caesar. So I don't know, guys. I love
Channing Tatum like with all my heart,
So. Well, obviously, so gay. I like him when he's taking his clothes off. Yeah.
Is somebody on this podcast going to do one of the Magic Mics?
Fuck.
I don't know, but I'd be down for it.
I've seen both of them many times, but I really love that.
Right.
Yeah.
Anyway, sorry, Lee. Yeah. I interrupted you with talking about Magic Mike.
Sure. The sequel was much better.
Oh, yeah. So, Magic Mike XXL on Blu-ray and DVD.
Buy it from our website. Somehow we'll put up a link. We'll buy some copies and then sell them at a markup to you.
Yep. Perfect.
Yeah.
Oh boy. We're like a really shitty black market. All right.
Yeah.
A gray market, yeah.
in case you were wondering, my favorite Coen Brothers movie is The Hudsucker Proxy.
Oh, snap.
Weird choice. Very weird choice.
I also enjoy The Hudsucker Proxy, so...
I mean, it's good.
I can respect that. Yeah.
No, it's not bad. It's not Lebowski. Like, fuck. So,
another Coen Brothers comedy that I maybe like more than The Big Lebowski, depending on what day of the week it is, mm-hmm. is Intolerable Cruelty.
Whoa!
Oh, yeah.
Really?
No, yeah. I'm okay with that one. I'm okay with that one.
It's a great fucking movie. Yeah.
This comes from a man who adores the movie Grease 2. So so let's take That's it with true. A grain of That's salt, true. Shall we?
Yeah.
Anyway.
Fuck, so I guess what we're finding out is Coen Brothers movies are weirdly polarizing.
They are. It's odd.
Yeah.
Huh.
Oh, yeah. I think that's definitely true.
Well, my roommate said he really loves this movie, and I was like, I don't quite understand you, but I respect you.
Yeah, that's confusing. Yeah.
So I will say this: I have never watched this movie without enjoying it. Like, even catching like 5 or 10 minutes on cable late at night, like just randomly.
Okay.
Like, I always have fun watching it. So I'm going to give it like a good, like, let's say 7.2.
Okay.
Yeah. Now as for Erica's movie, which I decided since it's a crime drama in the grand tradition of our show, I'm going to refer to it as The Big Lebowski.
Oh, beautiful.
Yeah.
Great throwback.
Banger. Like, it's in, I'm picturing like a border town kind of feel. Like, just everything is dirty. It's clearly a tight 90, which we love.
That's true. We do love a tight 90 because then I don't have to watch two and a half hours of bullshit.
So there's like some shocking moments and like a semi twist, but it's not something that comes out of nowhere necessarily.
Well,
like
I don't know. That execution style Tara Reid is pretty
Well, yeah. I mean, I guess. Like,
have you seen Van Wilder? Like, she's really bad in it. Like,
she's in the movie Van Wilder?
Yeah.
She's the female lead.
Yeah.
What?
Really?
Yes.
I remember American Pie.
She plays a brainy reporter type.
Wait, we're not talking about Van Wilder 2, The Rise of Taj, are we?
No. First one.
With Cal Penn? No, get out of here. Get out of here.
Get on with that.
God, I love Cal Penn. Oh, I love Cal Penn.
The big Lebowski heat. Let's give it a 7.25.
Oof, okay.
I thought you were going to give me a 2 for a second, and I was like, Lee.
No.
Yeah, I was thinking, I heard 2.5 there for a bit.
I misspoke. Let's say that Erica, your version just edges out the real movie.
Okay.
Mostly because it's coherent and action-packed.
Seems good, yeah.
I would also like to point out real quick that our just meandering bullshit plot synopsis really feels like keeping with the spirit of the movie.
That's true.
Hell yeah. I'm going to go a solid 9 on actual Lebowski. Okay. This is one of my five formative year rotation movies that I watched over and over and
when
over
you were
and
stoned.
Over and over. No, not even stoned. Like as a teenager, like as a legitimate child,
uh-huh.
I just over and over was like, I don't know why I like this, but I like it so much. And just going with it over and over. I just can never shake that. So yeah, that gets a solid 9.
Whoa.
I think yours was Lebowski. Oh yeah, real Lebowski, solid 9 for sure.
Holy crap.
Yeah, I think yours is very good. We
like
shit
the
on
upward
heat
inflection
a bunch.
There because you're not sure how to walk this tightrope.
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean, you know. I think it was also good. I would give it like a 7.5 probably. Like,
all right.
Yeah, like a genuinely good movie, but like Lebowski, actual Lebowski is very good. Genuinely good. Yeah.
Well, Zach, I always grade lower than everybody else, and you gave
That's
a
true.
Grade as low as me. So,
I gave a grade lower.
Yeah. Y'all are.
That never happens.
Y'all are monsters.
Yeah.
Y'all are haters.
Yeah, it's... Seth, yeah. I think you're getting soft. I think you're getting soft in these new eps. Yeah.
Oh, in these aught teens. Yeah. Uh huh.
Yeah. These aught teens.
Yeah. Aught teens.
No.
Oh, okay.
Oh boy.
Weird. And gross.
Yeah. All right. So I think consensus is Erica did very well, but like actual Lebowski is like a very good movie and, you know, kind of tied-ish, would we say?
I think, you know, if we're going democracy wise, Lee and Seth both graded me higher than the actual movie.
Okay.
And so,
okay.
Yeah, Zach, this is not a
Yeah.
Oh.
Whoa.
I'm going to have to bleep that out. Ooh.
Did you just make a reference?
Yeah.
You know
I'm
going
to have to bleep that out too. Seth, relax.
Wait, who's supposed to watch that movie? All right. No, we'll talk about it off. We'll talk about
it. Yeah. Absolutely, yes. Erica, you're not wrong. I guess that's a 2-1. So, yeah, that's a win.
So
well
you
done.
Lose.
Well done. Yeah. What? Well, I mean, I think you're saying you win, but yeah, all right, fine, whatever.
Next week, what do we got coming up next week?
Yeah, so next week we're going to kick off October, which... you know, it was kind of a famous month.
things happen in October. There's a general
things go
famously.
Feel.
They go bump in the night.
Yeah,
they do occasionally do that. Yeah.
So we're gonna kick that one off with me doing The Thing, and then we'll see where that goes. Should be fun. Yeah.
great flick. Great flick.
Yeah, no, I enjoyed that movie. So.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, I guess that's signing off. So, Erica did real good, but I think Seth did it better.
Ha ha! Victory again.